This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoors Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
Mickey broke the record at Camp Benny's on oysters, about however many you can eat.
Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 40 years, and along with winning numerous national and local tournaments, Captain Mickey was recently inducted into the Saltwater Legends Hall of Fame.
Now, the reason I broke the record is I don't think I had enough money in my pocket to pay for all of them. Because if you break the record, everybody with you eats free.
Now, here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. On this Friday morning, I'm Captain Mickey Eastman. Producing the Outdoor Show is Jace. Our sponsors today, Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated, the Belleville Meat Market, and Angler U. All right, right now, 69 in Galveston. No rain yet, but a lot of that, those torrential rains they received down south of us, a lot of them are out over the Gulf and looks like they're going to circle back in our direction. So anyway, here's the forecast for today. Showers and thunderstorms, a few could contain very heavy rain, especially this afternoon with a high of 72. Southeast winds 15 to 25. That rain chance 100%. Looks like Galveston could receive 1 to 2 inches of rainfall. And tonight, variable clouds with scattered thunderstorms, about a 70% chance tonight. South winds 10 to 20 for tomorrow. Few scattered showers in the morning. Partly cloudy skies late in the day. So high near 75. South-southeast winds 10 to 20. About a 40% chance of rain tomorrow. So it's going to, looks like it might get better. That's what they're saying. And looking at tides for today, these are Galveston Channel tide predictions. We have four of them. We're sitting on a high right now. That just occurred. We have a low coming up at 10:24 a.m. It's a 0.3 coming off a 1.4, and then a high at 4:34 p.m. a 1.1, and then a low at 10:11 p.m. an 0.4. 7:13 a.m. is sunrise. 7:35 p.m. sunset. Our moon phase right now is 4%. Fixing to be on a new moon. Now, looking at the buoy offshore, it's showing 11 to 13 miles an hour out of the southeast. Water temp 67. Air temperature 68. And at the Galveston Channel, 68 degrees with 71 degree water. South winds 3 to 9. Eagle Point, south-southeast 14 to 15. And Morgan's Point, southeast 9 to 16. Boy, it sure seemed a lot stronger than that when I went out the back door earlier. But breezy anyway. And that pretty much covers it. A lot of rain down south. I'm anxious to talk to Brian Brer this morning, especially his area. Man, I saw some nasty videos of flooding. All right, let's start off with the hammer this morning. Let's go over to the Tri-Bay area and see what's up with him. Glenn, good morning. What's happening?
Good morning, Captain Mickey. How you doing, buddy?
Man, I'm all right, bud. I'm all right. Thanks for asking.
We made it in another day, didn't you?
Yes, another one.
We're glad of it. We're glad of it. Hey, man, 16 miles an hour down here. Southeast, looks like. I can't believe it, but it's blowing. And we had nothing less than 20 miles an hour out of the east yesterday.
All right, great.
That's the bad thing about it blowing, but the good thing is we've been sitting about 2.5 feet below normal tide pool, and we got our water back late yesterday afternoon. And finally, it's covered the reefs. The reefs have been exposed down here for weeks. I mean, weeks. I'm not exaggerating. Our tides have just, I fished on Wednesday and the tides.
You know, it's been that way since really January. We've just had a lot of low water this year, man. I don't know whether it's just me, but I can't remember ever having that long of a period of time with that low of water, you know?
That's what I mean about that east wind. I'm glad. I mean, I don't like to fish in it, but I like it that it's bringing us some water back.
See, I like an east wind up my way, but down your way, it's not good. It blows right down the troughs.
Shoot, Monday probably would have been the day to go. It was real light winds. I mean, in the afternoon, it was only 6 miles an hour out of south-southeast. But still, in this area, the tides were low, but that was the best thing of the week. And then the wind started picking up, and it, you know, the rest of the story. But anyway, on Wednesday, I had my buddy Mickey from Austin. He couldn't get his buddy to go with him this time, but he wanted to go, so he drove in and did it all by himself. And we got an 8 o'clock start and using live shrimp, and we were done by 12:30 and had plenty of action. And yeah. This on my tide chart, Freeport Harbor told us that we should have an incoming tide from late in the morning till about, you know, 2 or so, and it was, the tide went out the whole time we were out there. So I'm right between the Freeport buoy and the San Luis Pass buoy.
Yeah.
So I'll get one reading at one and one reading at the other one. But anyway, we got out there, and it was like, you know, small red, small this, small that. Keeper here, keeper there. Got him a limited trout. The biggest trout was 19 and a half inches. Of course, you couldn't have kept anything over that or over 20 right. Anyway. But he had him three trout, and then he topped it off with a 26 and a half inch red fish that was a toad. And
short, fat red.
And caught it.
But they look short when they're that fat, you know.
With the tide being as low as it was, I stayed out of the bay and just went on the side of the channels of the intercoastal canal and just where the drop-offs were, and that's where the fish were feeding and hanging. And Son of a gun, man, he had a blast. Of course, he just sits there and lets me do all the casting for him, and then we had a good time, man, and got back to the fish cleaning table, and he took him a couple of pictures, you know, to mess with his buddy that lived in Bel Air that didn't come and go with him. He just had to hurry up and show him the pictures. But, no, we had a good time. The bite was good. And like I said, it all happened on an outgoing tide. And right when we got ready to leave about noon, well, we got in at 12:30, yeah, right around 12, that tide had just stopped. You could tell. And then it gradually started coming in. So I don't know. It was just it wasn't on schedule with the buoys down here. But however, we made a day of it, and got him a nice stringer of fish, and he headed back to the hill country. He him and his
good
wife, they live in Austin all the time, and then in the summer, like in the end of May, when fishing starts getting real good, they go to California and spend the summer up there, over there, because it's a lot cooler where they go, and, you know, it's just better. They love it. So I get to fish with him maybe one more time in May before he goes and does that California trip. But anyway, we had a good time, and, you know, yesterday, we didn't get a half an inch out of that mess. We got a quarter of an inch or a little less than a half an inch early in the week, and then yesterday, we only had probably 3/10 of inches of rain come out of that.
Yeah.
So it's going around us or over us, or we're getting a little sprinkle here and there. Now, we had
some thunder. It ought to be draining out of the Gulf in towards us later today, the way it looks
on
the radar.
Yeah.
Most of the rain right now is out over the Gulf, but it's, you know, that low pressure, and it circulates just like a tropical storm, and those bands will be coming ashore here sometime during the day. Looks like from Matagorda to here looks like they're going to get the most of it.
Oh, I know it. They got a big old glob of it right now just creeping up the coast. And predicting 100% rain until this evening. Maybe it'll go away, and tomorrow might be a distant day. I know the southeast is going to blow like heck tomorrow. But that's all right. I'd rather have that than northeast.
Oh, buddy, Robert Cervillo down there in Port Isabel, he just sent me a picture of the 14th green on the golf course there. He plays at and hangs out all the time. The 14th green is now a water hazard. It's totally underwater. Oh. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah, they're getting smoked.
Oh, they got spanked, man.
I've seen that.
I saw some videos where it looked like a hospital. Water was running down the corridors, you know, in the hallways, and then the wall caved in and water's flowing out of that. That was pretty crazy looking stuff, man.
Yeah, the only thing good about not having the rain is we've enjoyed a couple of weeks mosquito-free. I mean, sitting out on the porch in the evenings.
Been nice,
short
hasn't it?
Short, very nice, not having to swat those little boogaroos off of you all the time. But, you know, it's coming. Once that puddle water puddles for a few days and stays there, they'll breathe.
Culex season is just around the corner. Yeah. Remember all the hype about Culex mosquitoes?
Oh. Well, don't get any of that spray near your depth binder because somebody got next to mine.
No, it'll mess screens up, man. You got to.
Yeah, it messed my screen up.
Sunglasses, screens, it destroys everything.
Oh, boy. I'll be, you know, I'm cussing that stuff now because it's so greasy and all. But when I go see a dermatologist, he's going to cuss me out. But anyway, we're not doing much. Bait camps are holding bait, man. We had some beautiful shrimp the other day, and they're all going in the afternoon, pulling their trailers. There's a couple of them that shrimp locally, but a couple of them that haul trailers to go.
Well, y'all are fishing for the imported shrimp, then.
Yeah, we are.
From other areas of the coast, I might add.
Oh, but those fish were really excited to see those boogaroos, I'll tell you that. And it was pretty good. We didn't have to struggle to get a bite.
No panfish of any kind yet? Any croakers or, you know, rough fish or anything?
We got our first two hardheads of the year.
Oh, God, I didn't want to hear that.
Oh, yeah. But I had one little baby croaker that they would have sold for $1 because it was about that size. It was perfect bait size,
yeah.
And I hate to see them start, you know, well, they've been using them for bait for years and years. And I used to get stringers full of those big old croakers, bigger than your hand, you know, the big old croakers. But it's tough to find them like that anymore. I'm sure they're still out there somewhere. But they're sanding up the baby ones before they get a chance to grow.
Few and far between them big Atlantic croakers.
I know it. I know it. What good eating table fare right there.
Excellent fish to eat. Excellent.
I'm talking
that and the bull whiting.
Bull whiting. I was just going to go there. I encourage them to keep the croaker, the whiting, but who's going to clean? I'm going to clean them for you. Don't worry about that. Put them in the box, man. I mean, that's some good stuff. And then once they take a bag of those small fillets home and cook it up, it's like no comparison. Those little things are
People don't realize how good they got at fishing with Galveston area guides because we clean all the catches at no charge. Other areas up and down the coast now, they're not allowed to clean their customers' catch. They have to pay fish cleaners to do it.
Well, I've got a couple of my buddies that take advantage of me and get me to scale the redfish for them, and I told them where to go from now on. I said, you know, I'm not getting no extra nothing, man, from you, and you want me to scale these redfish? No way. No way.
No.
Oh, your wrists are so tired just from, anyway, you know the drill.
Oh, yeah.
But it's good down here. It's okay. The water's coming back, and that's great. We got about a 72-degree
water
temperature.
Water temps are up. Yep. Everything's
warming up.
Pretty much 70 degrees or above everywhere now.
Bait camps are open. Boat ramps are open. So everything's good down there.
All right, buddy. Well, Glenn, you have a good day. And if somebody wants to call you about coming over in Tri-Bay area and fishing with you, give them a number, my friend.
Yes, sir. They can always reach me at 713-208-0683. Y'all have a great day, Captain.
Keep an eye to your south. You might have to duck a little this afternoon.
Yes, sir. Adios.
All right. Later. All right. It's time for a break. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, it is 419 here in the Bayou City. All right, let's see what's up. We can't get Bob Green, but that's nothing new. His phone signal up there, it's crazy sometimes. But we shall try to get somebody else. I was reading earlier, before I went on air, like the 10 rivers that are most explored by sharks. And we have two local rivers here. They were talking about how far these bull sharks, and they'll migrate up these rivers up to 1,000 miles in cases. But it was showing the Trinity River was number 3 out of the top 10 rivers for these sharks to run up. And the Brazos River, I think, was number 5. That's pretty, that's right here locally. Pretty awesome. All right, let's go to Tommy Alexander and strike up a conversation with him, shall we? Morning, Tommy. What's going on, man?
What's up, Mickey?
Oh, nothing. Hitting you a little earlier this morning. Bob Green's having technical difficulties or whatever.
Can't get it, huh?
Can't get him on a text or a phone call.
You know, talking about I just heard you talking about those sharks.
Right.
I've seen some pretty big sharks up the Brazos.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've seen some pretty big ones way up there, too.
Uh-huh. That's what they were saying in that piece I was reading before I went on air. Sharks always, they've always fascinated me.
Yeah, they. We went up there. I don't remember what we were doing one year. We were pretty far up there. I don't know if it was catching something. Somebody was catching something way up the Brazos, and we were over there messing around. And I mean, like, way up the Brazos, and we sitting there farting around, and a big one, big old, I mean, like 4 or 5 footer, not real big, but pretty big, swam right by the boat. I mean, clear as day.
Right.
I was like, man, how in the world? What's he doing away up here? So I know they do it.
Well, it's just a direct inlet from the Gulf. What's amazing about the Trinity River, though, it's, you know, the far north end of our complex over here in Galveston. You know how big our bay system is.
Yeah, so they got to go all the way through the bay first.
They, you know, I was wading one. It was early March, man. We were wading up by the spillway in the north end of the bay. And I still remember this guy. He fished with me a few times way back then. His name was, I think, Kenny Garola. And he said, man, something just hit my stringer. And I said, nah. Hey, a bull shark hit his stringer, ate all of his fish. Now, it's early March. We're in waders. It's still cold, and that fish, you know, jumped all over him like that up there. And
wow.
And I got to talking to gill netters and everything else, and they said, yeah, man, we really enjoyed the winters. We had pretty clean nets, just pure trout and redfish. But he said once spring was in the air, man, those bull sharks would come through and just destroy their nets.
God dang. Yeah, I'm not a bull shark fan.
Yeah, one netter had a net set and had a giant trout in it. I mean, like a giant. And he pulled it out, just the head and the shoulders, weighed around 9 pounds.
God.
Or a shark had eaten the rest of the fish. That's, boy, I sure would have liked to caught that on a rod and reel.
Jeez. Yeah, you know, all my I guess shark stories all pretty much are in West Bay.
Oh yeah, that's a frequent spot for that, and over at Powderhorn in Port O'Connor, waiting at Southwest Wall over there. Man, we've been putting a boat over there a couple of times back in the day.
Man, I don't wade nowhere near like I used to anyway. I just don't have customers wade as much as I used to. But I mean, back in the day, we'd go to West Bay in the summer and wade all the time. And man, I had some close calls over there, man.
Hey, wading them guts and sandbars over there, boy.
God. I mean, I've got story after story, but it's funny because I actually was just talking about one of the stories the other night. I did a guest speaker deal over at one of those CCA banquet things.
Right.
And one of the guys that was there, he showed up. He actually had went with me like 10 years ago, and he showed up to the deal. I hadn't seen him in like 10 years, but he reminded me. He was in, he was me and he brought a big bucket of Popeye's chicken for us to eat that day.
Right.
So me and his buddy decided we were going to go eat chicken. So we walked back to the boat. Me and his buddy are sitting in the boat and we're eating chicken and he's wading not far. I mean, he's like 30 yards from the boat. Like we could talk to him.
Right.
And he's waiting. He had just caught one. He said, man, we watched him. He put it on the stringer and I don't know, just a keeper trout. And he said, I'm going to stand right here. I think they're right here. And I said, yeah, we're eating this chicken. You go for it. We'll watch you. You know, we're laughing. And all of a sudden we heard this big, huge splash. And I looked over there, and one is jerking on his stringer, and it about jerked him down, and he's spinning around, and there's water flying, and he's hollering, and all of a sudden he goes, oh, my God, did y'all see that? And we're just staring at him with chicken in our hand, and we said, yeah, we saw that, and we're laughing. He goes, what are y'all laughing at? We said, we're laughing because we're in the boat eating chicken.
Yeah, we're chumming them up with chicken, man. Yeah. We're chicken bones.
He said, I think I changed my mind. I'm going to come eat some chicken with y'all. I said, yeah, you might want to. But it was pretty funny.
Man, all that cottons and greens area all through there, it's notorious for that in the summer.
It gets bad. And we were like, where were we at that day? We were like at Pipeline, the spot we call Pipeline down there, which is, it's east of Greens and Cottons, but not real far. You know, it's right there by Oilfield Cut.
Right.
And that's where we were at that day when that happened. But yeah, lots of shark stories down there. Jeez. I don't miss that. I do miss how good the wading used to be down there in the summer. But I don't miss the sharks.
No, and usually there's a lot of dolphins too, and a lot of times when they're in that area, it'll keep sharks out for a little while anyway, as long as they're around.
I see more dolphins in East Bay now than I ever did before. We were drifting the other day.
They're plentiful everywhere, Tommy. I mean, they're thick up here, down there, way down the coast.
Man. Yeah, we had like 20 of them completely surrounded our boat while we were drifting in East Bay the other day.
Boy, that's a school.
We were right in the middle of a school of them, just thrashing and throwing. We were like, man, we just signed up. I just moved. I just said, let's move. They muddied the water up. It was so, you know, we were only in like 3.5-4 foot of water, and they tore up. I mean, they had all the muddy water was all around my whole boat.
Yeah, one tail flap.
Yeah. And I just didn't used to see them in East Bay like I do now. Man, you know, remember when I was sick? My voice is still not back to normal.
From that crud you got this year?
Yeah. My 2 weeks now, my voice has not been, it still hasn't came back all the way.
Oh.
I'm still like a little hoarse or whatever you call it, but it's not back to normal.
Frog in your throat.
Yeah, for 2 weeks I haven't been able to talk right. You know, somebody likes to talk like me, that's bad.
Yeah, it's tough on me too when I get that stuff, trying to keep from sounding terrible on the air.
I know. Next Tuesday night I live off of
what's that stuff called, Zyrtec. It helps though. It helps.
I'm going to do the Angler U deal Tuesday night.
Are you? They're going to have you on there? Well, that's cool.
Uh-huh. I'm going to be on there next Tuesday night. Yep.
Yeah, they had Charlie on there a little while back, and then they had Hillman on there.
Yep. I'm next Tuesday.
Getting some fresh meat on there.
That's right. We're going to talk about bass fishing and saltwater both.
Yeah, Larry and Caleb and those guys, they're good dudes. Really good to be around.
Caleb was just over here. He was just over here in East Bay fishing with us a couple days ago.
Was he?
Yeah. Whatever day that was. 2 days ago, maybe?
Yeah.
I don't remember. My day's all running. I don't remember what date or what anymore. I remember what I did, but I don't remember which days they are usually.
Right. Yeah, they all run together after you run enough of them in a row. I remember those days. I don't miss them anymore.
I didn't fish yesterday or today because all this rain.
Did y'all get much rain?
No, not as much as they said.
Yeah.
It's raining right now.
Yeah, I think we're going to get most of that today.
Yeah, we got rain. Don't get me wrong. It did rain. And it, a couple times was pretty hard, but it did not rain as like as much as what we thought it was going to.
My old tire buddy Chavo texted me, I don't know, around 1 or 2 yesterday, and his parents lived down there in Rio Grande City, and they'd already had 9 inches.
God. Yeah, we haven't got anything
that doesn't sound
like
much up this way. You know, that's pretty common at times, but down in that part of the world, 9 inches of rain, that's a ton.
Yeah.
That is a lot.
I can hear it right now. I mean, it's raining pretty good at my house.
Yeah.
I'm sitting by the window and I can hear it. But I think it's supposed to rain today a lot, I guess. But
100%. What you're saying.
Yeah. I was supposed to be on Fayette today. I had a saltwater trip yesterday and I had a trip to Fayette today. We rescheduled them. And then I'm fishing tomorrow. I'll be in saltwater again tomorrow.
Yeah.
We're going to fish tomorrow. And then
yeah,
I think a lot of that bad stuff.
They're getting another big line down there in the Harlingen area. You know, it's kind of like a tail coming off this big low pressure, that glob out in the Gulf. It's going to start moving in. I can see it on top of you now. It's all from Matagorda up through Lake Jackson. It's headed our way.
Yeah. So
probably about the time I get out of here this morning, I'll be driving in some heavy rain.
What about those Legend boys? They start today.
Yeah, I think they're going to be fine. Right now all the rain's kind of on top of Port Aransas, but moving east. So, yeah, it's clear from Corpus down the coast. I got a pocket there that they may be all right. The way this thing's circulating, the way these bands are set up, I think they're going to
be good.
Be a go.
Yeah. Some of the worst weather seems like it hits those Legends tournaments. Man, those Legends tournaments get some bad weather.
Tournaments are not new to that. Yeah. I remember all the Troutmaster tournaments. We had some just unbelievably gnarly weather at times, some of them. And then some would just be beautiful and perfect. But I think there was better fish caught when the weather was bad than there was when it was good.
I'm telling you, some of the worst weather or the worst weathers I've ever fished in were always tournaments. You know, stuff that I wouldn't even fish in if it wasn't a tournament.
Low pressure and wind and fish snapping, baby.
Wind, yeah. God, it seems like it's always blowing when it's tournament day.
Always.
Always blowing. Man, some of them saltwater tournaments were bad. Freshwater,
speaking
of
tournaments,
of
I need
cold.
To take a commercial break right quick. Hang on, Tommy. I'll come back at you, man.
All
we'll
right.
Continue our conversation. Hang with me. All right. Well, I need to take a minute to tell everybody, all you anglers out there, are you ready to hook into something big? It's time for the Matagorda Slam Fishing Tournament. That's happening Friday, April 25th, right in Matagorda, Texas. Kicking things off Thursday night, April 24th. You can join them for their captain's meeting in Calcutta dinner at Rusty Hook Ranch. Rudy's Barbecue, cold drinks. Got a chance to get in on the action, and then it's game on. Safe light launch Friday morning. Weigh-in that day will be from 2 to 4 p.m. at the harbor. And bring your A-game, your best team, and your lucky rods. Entry is just $400 a team, and here's the best part. Your entry includes all-you-can-eat crawfish on Saturday at the legendary Matagorda Slam Crawfish Cook-Off. All the proceeds benefit the Hookspit Junior Anglers Association, helping get more kids on the water and into the great outdoors. Spots are filling fast. Register today, matagordaslam.com. That's matagordaslam.com. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, it's 4:37 here in the Bayou City. All right, Tommy, we are back, my friend.
All righty.
Well,
back at it.
Yep.
Now, yeah, I hope all this gets out of here. And I guess it looks all right the rest of tomorrow and after today.
Yeah, there's a little bit of chance in the morning, 30, 40%, yeah. And then, you know, fairing off during the day. And so.
And then Sunday, Monday, somebody said something about some north wind, but maybe not hard.
Yeah, it's.
I got a trip Monday too, so hoping it stays all right.
Yeah, I'm trying next to look week. At the extended forecast here, and we're looking good after this gets out of here. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, then rain chance coming back on Saturday about a 30%.
But the wind, we don't have any hard winds, do we?
No, I'm not seeing any. But it is spring, so
yeah.
Don't let your guard down. Hey,
yeah, I know.
This time of year, you take weather one day at a time. You can't plan ahead right now.
No, it can get bad.
And fighting this,
it can blow.
Life.
But it was all right this week. I mean, we did. It was another thing. I guess I've said it before, but it was up and down. I had. What, one or two days was slow and one or two days was decent. So it kind of went both ways, but I drifted all, you know, every day this week that I fished. Trying to think what we had. Each day we had a couple overs, you know, like 20, and now overs are 20 inches. So when I say an over, it's over 20.
Right.
But we had a couple of them each day, you know, 22 to 24 inches. I think 24 inches was the biggest fish that we had in my boat this week. I heard of a couple 26, 27s that were caught this week, but the biggest I saw was about 24.
Yeah.
And then, you know, caught some pretty solid keepers, like 18, 19 inches this week, you know, each day was pretty good. We just, all week long, I think we did the same thing. We just drifted throwing paddle tails. It seemed like dark color paddle tails was the thing for us. I tried some straight tails and different things, light colors, but it just said, we just kept going back to dark color paddle tails. That seemed to be it.
Well, and paddle tails are so much easier for, you know, customers to throw.
Right. No, it's way easier. Yeah, I mean it's a total different deal. When you get customers that haven't fished, don't fish much, they right. do not do well with straight tails. I've noticed they catch a lot less fish than just telling them to chunk it. Because most of the time they're not popping it, they're just kind of reeling it.
Right.
So
they get a lot more bites that way.
Get a lot more bites.
Yeah. So true.
And that one day, whatever day, I had old Marv again, Marvin. And right. That day I had him, they didn't even want you to pop it at all. I mean, they were doing better just reeling it straight in, it seemed like.
Right.
We caught several fish, just a straight retrieve.
The old mirror lure pattern.
I mean, they'd just take it out of your hand.
Uh-huh.
And when I was doing my popping and all my normal stuff, they didn't seem like they wanted it quite as much. As just that straight retrieve.
Oh, it's hard for me not to work a lure.
I know.
That's
it's real hard.
The toughest thing on me is slowing down and just reeling, you know.
No, I can't
when
even do it.
I have a mirror lure on, I can do that, you know, make about 12, 15 cranks with it and then do a little double pump and to the side.
Yeah.
The old mirror lure pattern, but, man, when I got a tail on, I want to dance. Same way with a corky or anything else. I'm ready to dance, buddy.
I can't do a complete cast. I try, and I cannot do a whole cast of just straight reeling it in.
I know. It's hard.
I mean, I'll have to throw a pop or two or stop, and then I'll see my, and then I'll try to, I'll discipline right. it because I knew that's how they were eating it. So I'm trying to discipline myself, and I'm not, and I start reeling again, and I just
be like working a topwater without. That's, you know, like with frog fishing, you know, for bass, it's hard for me to just you know, hold my rod up and just reel it across the top of the moss and everything and the grass.
Yeah.
You know, when you have a topwater on you, it's just a habit to, you know, the walk the dog twitch, man. He'll believe it's a beaver pattern.
Yeah, it messes me up even with a buzz bait. Because a buzz bait, you can't do anything but reel it.
That's
but
all
I'll sit there
do.
And catch myself. I'll catch myself popping the buzz bait, and making it, you know, blow harder. And I don't really like to do that. I don't catch a lot doing that with the buzz bait. But I've caught myself doing that. I'm like, man, I got to quit doing that.
Man, I was fishing with Will one time on Rayburn, and we're throwing spinner baits, and I put on like a quarter ounce spinner bait, a light one, and I'm working the edge of that bug brush, and I'm jigging it like a tail, you know. He goes, no, just reel it steady. And, man, I started pounding on him doing that because you're kind of stopping and starting and letting it flutter down a little bit. And those bass were smacking it doing that.
They were wanting it, huh?
They were after it.
Oh, man, yeah. It's just hard for me to keep reeling something straight.
Yeah.
But, man, I sure do know it works, especially with those paddle tails. They will eat a straight retrieve up. You see that red I had with the 38 spots?
Yeah, I saw that. That old leopard red, man. He was losing his spots. You could see how small some of them were on the tips of the scales were. You know, as they grow, they lose their spots. But, man, I bet when he was smaller, he had millions.
I know, because he was 29 and a half inches. He was oversized. He was 29 and a half and still had 38. And the funny story about that fish. So we're fishing. I had Marvin with me that day. We're out there drifting, and I'm throwing a paddle tail. I caught it on a roach paddle tail. And I'm reeling it, and he thumped it hard, you know, like a big red will do. Thumped it hard, and I set the hook. And, I mean, as soon as I set the hook, it just peeled out drag. And then turn around, and it's just that dead weight. I said, well, there's our redfish. And they're both like, oh, man, you got a red? I said, yeah, it's a red. And the customer that was in the back that Marv brought was kind of, he didn't fish a whole, you know, he's just kind of new to fishing.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he's peeling out drag, and he's just being a typical red. And I get him up kind of close to the boat, and then he just peels out drag. I mean, like almost fool me again, way out. And so then I told him, I said, well, I'll tell you what, this thing's oversized. I said, this is too big. It's going to be over. There's no way. This thing's just... I couldn't do anything with it, you know, just peel and come back and peel out. So this thing's oversized. Well, anyway, the fish goes around the back of the boat where I couldn't, I kind of start walking. I couldn't see it for a second. Well, the guy that's in the back, I guess it comes up behind the motor, and he sees it, and he starts hollering. He goes, oh my God, it's a trout. It's a trout. God. And I said, what'd you say? He goes, I swear to God, I saw it. It's got spots all over it. And then I start freaking out because I know.
Then you go, oh, my gosh, could this be the one I'm looking for?
This is it. I was like, this is the state record trout right here because this thing's done spooled me twice. I mean, it's a big – I knew it was a huge fish. And so now my heart's pumping, and then I get off. So I jump up. You know, I'm really – now I'm thinking, oh, my God, I've been horsing this fish for 5 minutes. What did I do? Did I pull the hook? I'm going to lose it. I've been horsing it. And the guy's he's like, I swear to God, it's got spots. I saw it. It's a giant trout. So I'm thinking, oh, man, I got a double-digit trout, you know. And anyway, it finally comes up to the side of the boat, and I saw it. And I said, oh, I said, it's a red. And he goes, no, I seen all spots. I said, no, you're right. I saw something's funny. It's got a lot of dots, but I saw its head. It's definitely a redfish. And anyway, so we netted it up, and it was 29 or whatever inches and 38 spots, but my heart, I hadn't had my heart pumped like that out there saltwater fishing in a pretty good while. I really thought I had a double digit trout. And I thought I might have the state record after that because I knew that fish was huge. I'd been fighting it, and it was a giant fish, but when he swore to God he saw spots all outside of it and it was a big trout, it freaked me out. God dang.
That'll do it.
Oh, yeah, I was.
It took me 5 minutes. That's what's good about fishing, where you know there's big fish like that. You just never know, man. It happens when you least expect it, when you get that one big unicorn on.
Yep. No, I mean, it really does. And you know, East Bay can, it can any happen in East Matagorda Bay. I mean, there's big trout out there. And I believe that it can, a double-digit fish could happen any time out there. You just never know.
It's the time of year for that. It can.
I mean, I caught a 9-pounder about 10 years ago, and you never know when it's going to happen. Like you said, I had one customer with me, and we're drifting, and we had stopped to eat a sandwich. So we're sitting there drifting in the middle of the day, eating a sandwich. Neither one of us is fishing. So he grabs his rod and throws out there. He finished the sandwich. He throws out there. And he goes, man, I just had a good hit. And then he goes, do you see that? Something blew up right there. And I looked out there, and I saw the swirl. I didn't even know it was something. Well, I had a sandwich in one hand. I grabbed my rod with my other hand, and I just threw out there one-handed. It hit the water. I clicked my deal, and I kind of pulled up with literally a sandwich in one hand, and I felt the fish. I set the hook with a one-handed hook set, threw my sandwich down, and it was a 9-pound trout.
Mm-mm-mm.
So you just... Yeah, you never know.
No, you don't. It happens when you least expect it.
I have not caught a 9-pound trout in a long time. That was the last. That was about 10 years ago. That was the last one I've caught that big.
You know, we used to get to working in the summer on those open water schools like that, and, you know, you got a mixture of everything, gaff top and drum and redfish and trout all in there, and, you know, we'd always pull some big trout out of them. But,
yep.
I saw a guy horse a trout off one day that I know it was a double-digit fish. There's no doubt about it. He kept saying, no, I got a red. I said, man, I saw him come up out there. These reds aren't coming up. That fish came up, and all I saw was a big old whisk-broom tail, you know, a big black tail.
Yeah.
And a head shake, and it started that glide. And he's marlin pumping on it and, you know, trying to grip and get it in so he can get out and get another one. And we got it up by the boat, probably 20, 30 feet from the boat, and it surfaced and started that glide. And he went into panic mode, and he went to turn it around and dropped his rod. And then I guess he had ripped the lip out so hard by just, you know, horsing that fish like he was.
Horsing it.
And that tiny bit of slack, a jig head popped right out of his top lip. It happens.
It happens.
You know, when in doubt, slow things down and fight that fish properly.
Yep. That's what I was thinking. That
so
was
what if you lose a redfish? You know, you're going to get another one. But when you hook a big trout like that, you got to be a little more tender with him than that. You don't want to be too tender, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. No, I was freaking out when I read it. All I could think about is, oh, my God, I've been horsing this fish for 5 minutes. And then it's down to trout. I'm going to lose it.
We were working a school like that one time, and a guy had come in on us and with his trolling motor, and he actually kind of threw over our lines off of my bow, and we're all bowed up, and we get that out of the line. Well, he cast out again, and he backlashed, and his tail is laying on the bottom, and this big giant trout scarfed it up, sucks it up off the bottom. He starts fighting this fish. It swallowed it all the way down because it kept coming out of the water, you know, trying to throw it up. And the fish actually wrapped around my trolling motor and then headed back towards him. So I had to lift the trolling motor up, and I told him, I said, you know, all you can do is push your button in, give me some slack, and I'll unwind it off the slower unit. And we unwound that. He reeled up the slack, and that fish was still on there, and they netted that fish, and it went 9.5 pounds. I go, when it's your day, it's your day.
That's it.
He said, exactly, I didn't mean to crowd you like that, brother. I said, well, why did you then? I mean, you didn't mean to, but, hey, you caught a great fish. Now back off and give me some slack, man.
Yeah.
Quit breathing on me. He was breathing on me. He was so close. Caught a fish of a lifetime, though.
Yeah. Wow. Man, that's all. You never know. You never know when it's going to happen.
No. You never do.
You really don't. Some of my biggest trout ever were in weird situations that I wasn't prepared for. Like that 9-pounder I told you about, that was kind of, I had a sandwich in one hand. Another big one I had.
Cell phone the other.
Well, I had my other biggest one ever. It was actually my longest one ever. It was 32 inches, but it didn't weigh. It was 9-something. It wasn't double digits, but it was 32. And I caught it walking back to the boat. I was completely done fishing. Yeah. And I was walking back to the boat. It was like 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
That's when you yell down at your guys and say, hey, man, y'all missed one. walked through him.
Well, yeah, the two guys were already in the boat, and I was with one guy, and we were walking back to the boat. We were done. And I had a little Super Spook Junior, and I'd already hooked it on my rod, and I was walking back, and that guy goes, man, look over there, man, all them, those couple mullet flips right there in that one little spot. And I don't know, out of habit, I just unhooked my topwater, and I just kind of made a sidearm cast over there, twitched it twice, and boom, a 9-pounder smoked it. And I was like, good Lord. And, you know, so I was done fishing. When I caught that, so that's 2 9-pounders I've caught, but I really wasn't even paying attention.
It happens.
Never know.
All right, Tommy, I got to run, buddy. If somebody wants to call you about saltwater or freshwater fishing, give them some info how they can get a hold of you, man.
Yeah, they can get me on Facebook under Tommy Alexander, but the best way is always the phone. Send me a text, or if I don't answer, leave me a message at 979-709-8242.
All right, buddy. Well, Tommy, you have a great day, and always good talking to you. And
yes, sir.
We'll hang on and see how much rain you guys get with along with us.
Yeah.
It's coming our way.
See.
All right.
It's still raining now. I hear it.
So. All right, my friend. Tommy, have a good day. Right. See you, buddy. All right. All right. That's Captain Tommy Alexander. Well, I need to take a moment to tell everybody about the Belleville Meat Market, located right in downtown Belleville. They're easy to find. Look for the white sign, and their processing facility and meat market are right next door to one another. When you go in the meat market, check out their smoked sausage samples. They're available daily in the store, along with a full menu of pecan smoked barbecue. They serve that all week long, Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., along with pecan smoked pulled pork, homemade hot dogs. They're all available on the menu, and they have bulk pricing available on fresh ground beef and all their pecan smoked sausage. And, you know, processing facility, it never closes. It's open year-round, and a lot of people are harvesting axis deer right now, and no better place to take that good meat that you can trust with the Belleville Meat Market. They'll make it so good for you. Their wild game processing facility, check out their new sausage recipe. You got to try it. It's really good. And while you're at it, get some deer tamales and venison hot dogs made. Your family will love that you did. The Belleville celebrating over 42 years serving the greater Houston community. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name.